Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 15, 1987 in Sridharmayapur, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 32.
Intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Chaitanya Charitamrita, translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Abhayacharana Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. So today, this most auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are gathered together in the very sacred, most sacred place in the whole world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained how in this entire universe, this planet is considered to be blessed, most important, because here Krishna appears and performs his personal pastimes. And in this planet, because those pastimes are performed in India, they are considered to be the most important. In India, the most beautiful and auspicious of all the states is the land of Bengal, where the Ganges is flowing through. And in Bengal, the most auspicious place is Gauramandal Bhumi and Noria, the place where Lord Chaitanya has performed his pastimes. And within the Gauramandal Bhumi, Noria, the holy abode of Navadvip Mayapur Dham is considered to be the most auspicious, because here the Lord Himself has appeared and performed His childhood pastimes. Srila Prabhupada said that within Mayapur, the Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir is the most auspicious place, because here the work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being performed. Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir ki
jai!
Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham ki
jai!
So here we're in the most auspicious place in the entire universe, on the most auspicious day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So certainly all of you are very fortunate to be here at this time. And what could be a better activity to perform than to hear and chant the glories and pastimes and mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Lord Chaitanya appeared, as explained in this verse, although Krishna himself, he came in disguise. He came in another color. He came in the golden color. And more unusual, he's Krishna himself, but he's chanting the name of Krishna. He's chanting his own name. So all these are unusual circumstances. But Vyasadeva has very clearly explained that one should not be confused, that who is this personality chanting the name of Krishna with golden color, with so many associates? Who is this person? Is he some great saint? Is he a great prophet? Is he a sannyasi or a devotee? Who is this person? Someone may wonder. But Vyasadeva has very clearly explained that when you see such a person who is joined by many intelligent persons, then you can know without a doubt that it is Krishna himself. And his purpose is to spread the Sankirtan movement. His purpose is to have spread his own devotional service. We are reading how Advaita Goswami, who is the incarnation of devotees, he was seeing how the people had become materialistic in this world, and therefore he prayed that since I'm an acharya, since I'm devotee, and devotee is qualitatively one, or advaita, with the Lord, therefore, if I sincerely request Krishna to come, how can he refuse me, since I was so dedicated to his service? So in this way, he made a firm determination and vow that he was going to pray to Krishna in all devotion and humility to come down and to show himself to the world. And with loud cries, he called out to Krishna. Those cries were so loud that they penetrated the boundary of this universe and they went on beyond to Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna could hear the loud cries of Advaita Goswami. So Lord Krishna himself came on this sacred day 501 years ago and appeared in this sacred land to give the world that opportunity which otherwise in Kali Yuga we would be deprived of. To give us the opportunity to come back to him, to bring us back to him, to his own devotional service, to chanting his holy name. Actually, Prabhupada explained here that Lord Chaitanya's weapon is his personal beauty and attractiveness. Actually, in this material world, we find ourselves easily distracted. Maya has presented so much Maya Sugaya, different types of illusory happiness to bewilder the minds of the conditioned soul. And they run after the different features in 3D color and variety presented by Kali Yuga. Whether it is sex or gambling or intoxication or eating of meat, fish, eggs, so on. People are really attracted by these different varieties of sense gratification, which are very nicely packaged, very attractively packaged. So, with all these material allurements, how is it possible that people can come out of illusion? But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he, being the all-attractive Lord, he expands his all-attractive feature of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attract the mind of the conditioned soul. This inconceivable mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is something which those who chant his holy name, those who engage in his sankirtan, they can experience. Even those who are idol watchers, who are curious people, who just stop to see what's going on, they also get attracted. Just like the Mohammedans here in Mayapur 500 years ago, they used to joke with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party. They used to ridicule them by mimicking them, saying Hare Krishna, different things, saying Gaurhari, Gaurhari. But they went to the Chankazi to complain, and he asked them, why you're all chanting the name of Krishna, why you're chanting the name of Chaitanya? And they admitted that since we've taken this chanting, since we one day were joking with Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party, we've not been able to stop chanting. The chanting is going on in our mind, eating, sleeping. We're not able to stop chanting. These people have some form of magic. This magic or this special quality is revealed here. It is Lord Chaitanya's all-attractive feature. If you try to pin it down, what is so attractive about Lord Chaitanya? What is it that attracts people to give up all of their material attachments, to give up their countries, to give up their families, to give up anything and everything which is an obstacle for rendering devotional service to Lord Chaitanya? What is that specific attractive feature? If you ask someone to explain to you, to give it a designation and a word which will sum it up, or some form of description which can convey it to another, you find that it's inexplicable. It's something which is wonderful. But the only way to understand it is to experience it oneself. And having experienced it, then you're finished. Then you can't stop. Of course, there's some ways of stopping. Just like there's no brake when you're in an airplane. When you're flying through the air, if you suddenly want to put your brake on, you see, there's no brakes as such. You just suddenly stop. Of course, there are techniques for stopping. But one way of stopping is to somehow or another turn off the gas. And then you start to coast down. Then there are the other techniques. If you're a tree, well, you just go on growing until some elephant comes along and stomps on you and tears you apart. Like that, Lord Chaitanya said, there's nothing which can stop that nectar that a devotee experiences, except two things. The primary danger is a certain breed of elephant, known as the mad elephant. Vaishnav aparad matal hati upare bachindi tar suki jai pata. The first one is the mad elephant, which is the mad elephant offense of offending a Vaishnava. If we offend Vaishnavas, then Lord Chaitanya said, it's as good as an elephant coming and pulling out your devotional paper from the root. You pull it out from the root, throw it on the ground. Here in Mayapur, we grow jute sometimes. Jute is made into carpet backing, burlap sacks, and even rugs. Well, the technique for making jute is you have to pull it out of the ground or cut it and pile it up and let it wait for a week or so until all the leaves dry up and fall off. This is the nature. You can pull out a tree. The leaves don't immediately fall off. They take a little time, a week, 2 weeks. If you go and offend the Vaishnava, it's not that some lightning bolt's going to come from the sky and zap us and suddenly we're dead. But what happens is our devotional creeper starts to wither because it's caught at the root. And what happens when that happens is we lose our attraction for Lord Chaitanya and His holy name. And when that happens, then Maya starts to look very attractive. And when Maya looks attractive, then we fall down. So we have to be careful. Just as there's a story they say that's told in Jagannath Puri, that when Lord Chaitanya was rescued from the net of the fisherman, then the devotees were looking all over for Lord Chaitanya, they couldn't find him. So finally, when they came across the fisherman, they saw that he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Oh, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He's completely afraid, shivering, but he's chanting. So Sarup Damana asked, what's the matter? Oh, it's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a horrible demon. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So, they said, where is this demon? Where is this ghost? Oh, horrible, horrible, horrible. So, then the Sarup Damana said, I'll save you from the ghost. I know a secret. You just sit here. Then he slapped him. Bam, bam, bam. Now you're okay. So that startled him so much, he suddenly quieted down. He's still chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just tell me, where is this ghost? Is there any ghost? Someone sees they don't chant Hare Krishna. It must have been Lord Chaitanya. When he got in his ecstasy, expanded so large, his arms would go 18 inches disjointed. He was already golden color. He'd become pale. He had big goose bumpers all over his body. He looked very frightening. I mean, when you saw him, you couldn't recognize him at all when he was in his Mahabhava ecstasy. So Sarup Damodar, he immediately figured out that this fisherman, he must have touched Chaitanya Mahaprabhu somehow. So then he indicated that there, look at that horrible thing. And there they saw, he said, no, that's Lord Chaitanya. No, 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 it's too horrible. Look at 9 feet tall, Because Lord Chaitanya is 7 feet, when he extends like that, he becomes almost 9 feet. So then, Tarup Damodar and all the devotees, they went, they bathed Lord Chaitanya, took all the sand that was caked on his body off, and then they chanted Hare Krishna. He came back together and came back gradually to his external consciousness. So after that, though, that fisherman, the story goes, he was always chanting Hare Krishna. So it was very hard in his family because he was the only one in so many difficulties. So he asked, isn't there any way I can stop chanting Hare Krishna? I mean, it's very difficult. So then he was told, yes, you can stop chanting Hare Krishna if you just offend a Vaishnava. This is the way to stop chanting. All of our previous acharyas, they tell us that the reason for fall down for advanced Vaishnava is due to offenses to the holy name. And the way to preserve oneself from fall down is trying as best as possible to preserve oneself from offenses. Of course, weeds are also a danger, but they're a gradual danger which builds up over a period of time. Offenses are the most dangerous thing, because offenses also allow weeds to easily take root. So, in this way, we all have to become very expert gardeners and protect our creeper. Then we can always feel that spontaneous attraction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to Lord Chaitanya's holy name. Actually, Prabhupada was asked by the Indians, why is it that your movement spread so quickly in the West? People there are very materialistic. Of course, we know that even by chanting one holy name of Krishna, one can get rid of unlimited sinful reactions. So, getting rid of sinful reactions is not a big problem for Lord Chaitanya's movement. But people wanted to know, why was it at that time in the beginning, it seemed that fewer Indians were joining and many more Western devotees were joining. Although now it's increased here in India as well, very much. Well, Prabhupada explained that in the West, because there were no devotees, there was no Krishna, no Vaishnavas, so there was nobody to offend. So although there were many materialistic people, because there were no Vaishnavas, so they had no offenses. So it was very fertile ground in which to plant the seed of devotional service. Simply by hearing about Lord Chaitanya, they could become attracted. Of course, the more that offenses are committed against the Vaishnavas, then it's a little difficult to be attracted. But by constant chanting of the holy name, of Lord Chaitanya's name, even one can overcome the reaction of offenses. But it delays them, that's all. So Lord Chaitanya, he's so merciful, he came down to attract everyone. The more we can present Lord Chaitanya to the people, through Prabhupada's transcendental literatures, through the Harinam Sankirtan, the more that Krishna Chaitanya will attract the people to his lotus feet. How Lord Chaitanya came, after Advaita Goswami called him to this world, then he appeared. First, he sent his immediate expansion, Balaram, to take birth, to take shelter in the ocean of the womb of Padmavati, Devi, the wife of Harai Oja, in the village of Akachakra Gram in Bhirbhum. There, Lord Nityananda, he appeared almost 1 month on the Sukla Trayodasi of the Magha Mash, 1 month and 1 day, or 2 days, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya himself, Sri Krishna, as devotee, he appeared in the womb of Sachi Devi. Sachi is not different from Devaki, the same transcendental absolute personalities who appear as the Lord, mother and father in different incarnations. Like Devaki Vasudev or Nanda, Yasoda Nanda. Sachi and Jagannath Mishra on that same transcendental absolute level. When Lord Chaitanya took shelter in the womb of Mother Sachi, then the Anantadev, Seshanag incarnation, as a snake with thousands and thousands of heads, he started to do the Jaya Dwani, singing the glories of Lord Chaitanya in their sleep, in their dreams. Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra could hear the glories of Lord Chaitanya being sung. And they could feel something different in the house. Different demigods, like Brahma and Shiv, they came in their home and they glorified the Lord with transcendental prayers. But the Lord, who had appeared in all different incarnations through the ages, he again was appearing on this world to expand his pastimes and to attract the conditioned souls. Jagannath, Mishra, and Sachi, they had 8 girls who were stillborn before having Visvarup, the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya appeared. As I explained before, Navadvip Dham, at the time of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, was a seed of culture. But Vedic culture, although this was the seed, Vaishnava culture was considered by all of the Vedic pundits to be something despicable. And they used to criticize in so many ways. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, people, they had a philosophy that you couldn't chant the name of God. If you would do so, you would reduce its potency. So no one would chant the name of the Lord because they considered themselves too impure. They were afraid of offenses. Only when they would bathe in the Ganges, then they would chant. And on full moon eclipses, they would chant. So because Lord Chaitanya appeared when the full moon was having its eclipse, all of the people went to the Ganges and they all were chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Which was not a normal circumstance every day, only on eclipse days. But just to welcome the Lord coming, all of the devotees were chanting because the Lord brought in eclipse at the same time. So we also chant all day long during the Gaur Purnima day and every day to welcome Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, at that time, the demigods' wives appeared as Brahmanis, as the wives of the Brahmanas in disguise, and they came and offered presents and offered various worship to Lord Chaitanya in the crowd of people. Actually, everyone, at the time of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, suddenly things became very auspicious, and everyone became very happy and peaceful. There are various auspicious signs. So these things are recorded, they were experienced, and they can still be experienced. Even to this day, Lord Chaitanya, he's still present with us. We can experience this by chanting his holy names. So, Prabhupada, he summarized that Lord Chaitanya was always glorifying or chanting the name of Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he explains this verse, sums up the avatar of Lord Chaitanya. He says, my dear brothers, please hear all these glories of Lord Chaitanya. This verse clearly summarizes his activities and characteristics. The two syllables Krishna are always in his mouth, or he constantly describes Krishna with great pleasure. In other words, Krishna Varnam means that Krishna is simply coming from his mouth. The Lord Chaitanya, he constantly chanted the holy name to show there was a need to go back to Krishna other than chanting the holy name. Prabhupada very clearly explained in the purport that it's not possible to propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques. It's not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. In 1970, when Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, he had his secretary phone me and call me to him to send me to India. So I flew from Canada to Los Angeles And there Prabhupada briefed me for sending me to India. At that time, he kept me there for a couple of months by his God's mercy. And his custom was to take devotees on morning walk. So I did not get the opportunity of going with him on morning walk. But one day, he was walking by, maybe there was a church or something, I don't remember, but suddenly he turned around and he said, and that I very clearly remember, he admonished that don't think that everyone is going to be a devotee in our temples. Our temples will be something like the Christian churches, which have very large congregations. People will practice Krishna consciousness in their homes, and they'll visit the temple. So, that was the 1970s. That time we were simply madly trying to open temples. At least one would have 108 temples before I leave. The older devotees can remember that. And we were like madmen going and opening temples. I remember myself, I must have opened at least 5 temples. Like a mayor, everyone was getting married and opening temples or staying brahmachari and opening temples. But it was a big drive. People went to London, people went to different parts of the world, trying to open up centers as quickly as possible. After some time, Prabhupada said, enough. Now let us consolidate what we have. But in the beginning, there was a big drive to open temple. At that time, suddenly, there was no prelude or reason why to suddenly bring up congregation. But Prabhupada suddenly said that, no, we're going to have big congregations. So 1977, the Prabhupada said that he, in Vrindavan, he had opened up big centers all over India. He said, now we have established centers in cities. But now I want to bring this to the people in the country. They still have more Vedic culture. They're less westernized or less polluted than the people in the big cities. And so then he told us he wanted to go on the route of Lord Chaitanya and visit all the people in the village and to encourage them to take up Krishna consciousness. Of course, very soon after that, although many plans were made to take him with buses and matadors and everything, his health suddenly manifested severe symptoms and he wound up his pastime, chanting Hare Krishna. So, with that inspiration, we took the, ISKCON took the Padayatra from Dwarka to Kanyakumari to Mayapur, now completing the circuit by going to Vrindavan. But the actual purpose was not only to visit the root of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Prabhupada wanted to take the movement to the common people, to spread the movement to every man, woman, and child in all of the rural areas, all of the small towns as well. Because already the big cities, we had centers in Calcutta, Delhi, Bombay, and so on. So actually, this Krishna conscious movement is never going to have everybody live in the temple. Because Prabhupada has already predicted that you can't propagate and tell people simply to go to churches, mosques, or temples. Those are simply training centers to train people to chant Hare Krishna all of the time, every day, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Our mission is to get everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So, because of all these instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave, so we tried to do some different preaching in this regard. That's why the Namhatta movement has been re-initiated. The movement that Nityananda started on the order of Lord Chaitanya, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had re-initiated. Actually, this type of preaching is the biggest hope for expanding book distribution in the world. One Namhat group last year distributed 50,000 Lakshmi points of books here in Bengal alone. And if you consider that you can have millions of congregational members, and each one distributes 5 or 10 books in a month, then you can distribute literally millions and millions and millions of books. I'm sometimes surprised to go to Mahalaj temples with 150 devotees. When I give the Sankirtan class, there's 20 devotees there. 30 devotees there. Only a small percentage of the devotees go out on Sankirtan. And often, because of our big temples, We have to do so many other forms of paraphernalia sales and so on, just to keep in the black ink. And even then, we're usually in the red ink, what I hear. So sometimes people misunderstand that congregational preaching is not in the proper sankirtan mood of book distribution. Unfortunately, I feel that we should reevaluate this consideration, if anyone has. What is the actual future of book distribution? With millions of book distributors, or just 20 per temple? I think the preachers, they can evaluate whether Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he said that the Namhat preaching will eclipse all other forms of preaching and be considered the most important aspect of preaching, and when Prabhupada said that half our work is finished, I've done half the work, the next half is to make the whole world Varnashram, organized. How do you make Varnashram unless first you make the people devoted, unless they accept Vedic culture? And how do you make all the people in society accept Vedic culture if they're not at least a congregational member or preached to by congregational members? These are practical questions. And the practical answer is very clear for those who want to see. According to our previous acharyas, there's three important things in preaching. First is printing books. Bhakti Siddhanta gave the formula, print books, distribute books, and then namhat, then make congregation from the book publication. When I asked Prabhupada about this, he told me, our temples are for training people. You bring the people here to the temple, let them stay for a week or two, get trained up, send them back to their home to preach to their family members and neighbors. He envisioned that these temples are training centers, and that the brahmanas who are dedicated life and soul to preaching full-time Krishna consciousness, they can take shelter in these ashrams. And the others, some brahmanas and many kshatriyas, vaishyas and sudras, they'll be out in society practicing their occupation and chanting Hare Krishna. This is a broader vision of Krishna consciousness that the previous acharyas have handed down. Prabhupada envisioned the whole world would be Krishna conscious. In the center of it is revealed in this verse. Everyone has to be exposed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he is the all-attractive Lord. The more that we become attracted to Lord Chaitanya, how do we be attracted? We get attracted by chanting his holy name. There's a verse, Adya Piha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nam Jiloy. Whoever chants the holy name of Lord Chaitanya even today, I can't remember the full word, Pulakas, Asru, Prema, tears of love and ecstasy rise in your heart. Now I've gone all over the world preaching to just members of the public. We chant Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. At the end I ask, how many feel happier than when you started? And everybody raised their hand. I said, you want to prove the efficacy of the mantra? In the Vedic time we have Gomed Asumed. They take a old cow or horse, sacrifice it by mantra, bring it back to life, showing the efficacy or the effectiveness of the mantra. So how do we know whether this holy name is effective? You chant it, and if you feel better, then you know it's working. Srila Prabhupada said that the best cure for our difficulties is simply chanting and hearing. The more that we can come together and chant and hear, then other problems can be easily solved. If we all lock ourselves up in different rooms and talk about one another and don't come together and chant and hear, then we're never going to find a solution. But the more that we come together and chant and hear and associate, then we automatically start to feel attraction for Lord Chaitanya, and we feel natural affection for one another. And then all problems are very easily solved. And of course, nobody can be self-righteous in this regard, because all of us, including myself, certainly we are not able to say that we do Kirtaniya Sanahari. We are not always chanting the holy name. I don't consider that myself. I myself am a perfect example in this. But I know that even today when I came, being in front of so many exalted devotees and running around trying to get things prepared for this special event today, I was feeling a little nervous. But we chanted Sri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna for 10-15 minutes. Afterwards, I felt very happy by the mercy of the Lord. So, even if someone as fallen as myself can chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna and feel happiness, what to speak about all of the advanced Vaishnavas? They're already in bliss. So, somehow or another, we have to be so blissful by being so attracted to Lord Chaitanya that we will attract other people to Krishna consciousness. And that is why thousands and millions of people are coming here to this Mayapur Chandrai temple, because they feel attracted by all of you. Because you all look so blissful chanting Hare Krishna. They say, we don't find anyone in the world like these Krishna conscious devotees. They are very wonderful to look at. And so they are coming here by the millions, especially to see the Krishna conscious devotees. Otherwise, there are so many buildings in Bengal, they can go and see big buildings. There's a much bigger building in the Maidan in Calcutta, the Victoria Memorial. Of course, we'll build a temple much bigger than the Victoria Memorial. I think the Samadhi is rivaling that when we finish. But that's not why people are coming. They're coming because they want to associate with the devotees. The setting is right, the holy name is going on, it's a beautiful environment, and the jewels are there, Lord Chaitanya's devotees. So the more that we can spread this Sankirtan movement, the more that we become attracted to Lord Chaitanya, the more people will be attracted to us, and the more they become attracted to the devotees, they also become attracted to Lord Chaitanya. This way the movement spreads like wildfire. Because Srila Prabhupada was 10% attracted to Lord Chaitanya. He didn't have any distraction. Therefore, like a magnet, he attracted the whole world. And although we may not be 10% attracted to Lord Chaitanya, there may be some percentage. To whatever extent we're attracted, we also can attract others spontaneously. This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's a kind of automatic, magnetic, electrical conductivity which goes magically all over the world. So recently we heard so many that some religious leaders, they said somehow or another you have to stop this Hare Krishna movement because it's spreading so quickly. People are becoming so attractive. But nothing can stop the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from outside. Nothing, no external force. But Srila Prabhupada warned us that we should not allow internally offenses and other forms of dissension to predominate, because that is our singular danger. In fact, when we reorganized the Mayapur administration, we studied the Mahabharata Shanti Parva, where Bhishmadev gave instruction to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he told Yudhisthira how to run a Krishna conscious government in the world. And he said that over everything, the king has to have his council. And this council works like the brain of the king. So he said that if the council is united, it can deal with any problem. But if the council has external problems that come, this is not very difficult. This is not very serious. This can be solved. But he said if there is dissension and disunity in the council, then it is a symptom of impending disaster and dissolution of the kingdom. He said the primary importance is to maintain unity in the council of the government. That's what Bhishmadev, our Mahajana, Janakadasa Punta, he gave us that advice. So these are all advices by great Mahajana. Certainly we can all have unity when we are all attracted and fixed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pure devotee and eternal representative, Srila Prabhupada. And I don't have any doubt that ISKCON is simply going forward to spread the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more and more, as long as we keep Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada attraction in the forefront. So today on this auspicious day, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Prabhupada explains, he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower. We should just meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Those lotus feet are dripping with nectar, with honey. If we allow our mind to be like bumblebees, bumblebees go after the honey. Actually, we have come to the Krishna conscious movement because we are greedy. We want to taste nectar. So there's nothing wrong with being greedy and lusty to taste the nectar of love for Krishna. Actually, the devotees join the Krishna conscious movement because they're attracted to tasting the happiness of love for Krishna. There's nothing wrong with that desire. That's natural. And that is authorized by Krishna. It's all right to be blissful. Not like some people, they beat themselves with whips and self-punishment and so on. This is not our process. Our process is to be always blissful and ecstatic. But we, as Lord Narottam Das Thakur prayed to Nityananda, that, Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi, you are always filled with spiritual bliss. People will ask, Guru, Guru, Ami Guru Dukhi. But please, by your causeless mercy, give that drop of that bliss to me now, because I'm very miserable. In this way, if we are lacking any happiness, we should be very eager to get the nectar. We should just allow our minds to take the form of bumblebees and go after the nectar dripping from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Even Mother Ganges, she was anxious. In conclusion, I'll just like to say, Mother Ganges, she was coming down for the first time from the spiritual world. As she was coming down, Bhagiraha Maharaj was carving the way. That's why the Ganges is known as Bhagirathi. You see, after praying to her, he convinced her to come down to the material world, to this planet. From the Mandukini, she was in heavenly planet. She didn't come down here because she was afraid. She said, there's too many sinful people there. They all come and bathe in me, dump their sinful reactions in me, and this way I'll be overloaded. Why will I come to that place where people do so much sinful acts? Then Bhagirathi prayed, no, but if you come, there'll also be pure devotees who are coming to preach the whole glories of the Lord. They'll come and bathe in your waters. So then, with that attraction, to get the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees of Krishna, Mother Ganges agreed to come to this world. When she was coming down, she said, but when I come, I'll be splattered all over the earth and I'll just disintegrate. But he said, no, I'll carve a way. I'll carve a riverbed for you to come in. So this way, he was such a powerful Maharathi, and he was blessed by so many great souls. He was able to carve this route for the Mother Ganges. So the Ganges coming down behind, just unlimited kuseks of water. Tons and tons of, how can you measure that much water? The whole Ganges coming down, and he's just going one way or another, carving the path for the Ganges. Finally, he comes to the Mayapur Dam, and he keeps cutting, and he looks back, and the Ganges is just stopped. Didn't go any further. He came back, prayed to the Ganges, what's happening over? Please, why don't you come? We're not yet to the ashes of my forefathers. You know, he had to save his forefathers who were burnt to ashes by the vision of Kapila Muni, who's meditating at the confluence of the side of the ocean. It was presently known as Sagar Island. So finally meditating, the Ganges spoke to Maharaj Bhagi that it's almost time for Gaur Purnima, for the appearance, when in the future yuga, my Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya will appear on this day. So I'm waiting for his birthday, then I'll go forward. So to this day, those who bathe in the Ganges on the Gaur Purnima day, especially in the area between here and the birthplace, in this area from the Jalangi up, that's considered to be Ganga Nagara. It says, by bathing one can get love for Krishna, Krishna Prema, that blessing. So all the devotees try to go and bathe And this day, of course, usually in the morning until 12 noon, they throw colors. So usually you have to wait till after 12 noon. In case there's any wild people, you wear old clothes. But even the Ganges, she was attracted by Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. She came to Mayapur and waited till Lord Purnima, then she went out. So we've all come here. We're here in Gaur Purnima. Let us chant and hear the name of Krishna all day and become more and more attracted to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And pray to Lord Chaitanya that that attraction may stay with us the entire year and our entire eternal life. And get the blessing of Lord Chaitanya to somehow or another avoid offending Vaishnavas and allowing weeds to grow in our heart. Someone mentioned that Prabhupada said the one problem with the foreign devotees is they're not afraid of Maya. I heard that was mentioned in class. We're not afraid of Maya. We should be afraid of nothing but Maya. And we should be fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said, simply cling to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Cling to their lotus feet. We don't have any other shelter. But they are all merciful, so if we cling to their lotus feet, we can cross over every difficulty and we can reach the supreme destination, Golok Vrindavan, spontaneous love for Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes? No, within this 24 hours, anytime, it's all one. It's all auspicious. But for, you asked a question, technical question for practical reasons. It's better not to go in the morning. And it's not so good to go after dark with so many people. It's, the Ganges current is difficult, and this bank is difficult to. So there's a very nice place to bathe. You have to just walk down the river a ways. I mean, down towards the Jalangi, and then there's some nicer places to bathe. Easier to. Nice beach. One more story about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Well, here we have. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, he didn't appear on the 9th or 10th month. He appeared in the 13th month. In fact, the 13th month came still, there was no sign of delivery of the child. Of course, if this would have happened in the West, they would have already said, you have to have a cesarean, you can't wait, you know. But that's why Kali Yuga gets very dangerous. People say it's all the desire of Krishna, but they take everything in their own hands. But at that time, Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi, they were waiting patiently. When is the child going to be born? The 13th month had come. There was no sign of delivery. So then Jagannath Mishra, he became very frightened. So he went to Nilambar Chakravarti, who did an astrological calculation. And he said that in that month, taking advantage of a very auspicious moment, the child would take birth. So then, that's why in the year of 1407 in the Saka era, on the full moon evening, that auspicious moment appeared. So Prabhupada gives in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Amit Pravaha Bhasha presented the horoscope of Lord Chaitanya and gave the explanation of the horoscope to show that everything was situated in the most auspicious possible constellations, which is explained that according to Jyotirveda or Vedic astronomy, when the figure of the lion appears in both the zodiac and at the time of birth lagna, this indicates a very high conjunction of planets, an area under the influence of Shatvarga and Ashtavarga, which are all auspicious moments. So, the day was Singha Lagna, and the more time was Singha Lagna for Lord Chaitanya. So, when the spotless moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became visible, what would be the need for a moon full of black marks on his body? Considering this Rahu, the black planet covered the full moon, and immediately vibrations of Krishna, Krishna, Hari inundated the three worlds. All the people thus chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra during the lunar eclipse, and their minds were struck with wonder. When the whole world was thus chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in the form of Gaurahari, had vented himself on the earth. The whole world was pleased. While the Hindus chanted the holy name of the Lord, the non-Hindus, especially the Mohammedans, jokingly imitated the words. Means even the non-Hindus were joking, and they're also chanting Hare Krishna, imitating. So this way, everyone was chanting. Hari boli nari gara deho hula huli, sarage bata nitya kare deva kutu holi. When all the ladies vibrated the holy name of Hari on earth, and the heavenly planets dancing and music were going on, for the demigods were very curious, and said here, the demigoddesses were doing hula huli. Hula huli is that when the women wave their tongue back and forth, do the ulu ulu, and everyone was chanting.
Greater than anyone, and for your cosmic mercy only, to give out this pure love for Krishna. In your holy name, all sacrifices are complete. You have are appearing here in Navadvip. Give us this mercy, O Lord. Have your mercy upon us, that we, all of us, may be able to see your transcendental pastimes. Finally, after so many days, you will satisfy the mind of the Mother Ganges. You will be bathing in her, and this way, giving her unlimited transcendental bliss. You are the Lord of all mystic powers, and you are visible to meditation. That same transcendental person is going to be visible here in Navadvip village. Navadvip, we offer you our repeated obeisances. Sachi, Devi, and Jagannath's house are situated here, and there the Lord is descending. In this way, all of the demigods, they are offering invisibly their prayers to the Lord in the womb of Mother Devaki, of Mother Sachi. In the womb of Mother Sachi, all of the 14 planetary systems and unlimited universes are situated. On the full moon day of Phalgun, you will come and manifest yourself. All of the unlimited universes, and that day they all come together at one time by chanting the holy names of Krishna and Sankirtan. While chanting, the Lord appeared on the excuse of the lunar eclipse. Srila Prabhupada, to the expo exhibit, which was prepared for him with the kirtan. The exhibit is not fully finished in its final form, but it is the aim to please Srila Prabhupada wanted that in the main temple there would be thousands of exhibits on the preaching mood. So these exhibits are especially trying to use different art forms for hitting home the message of Krishna consciousness. And it's just the beginning. In the end, we hope to have more and more elaborate exhibits to give us the training and preparation for the main temple which Prabhupada had laid the foundation stone of in 1977. This temple is supposed to, will spread the Sankirtan movement further all over the world. So, when the first show Prabhupada, the expo, officially opened by him, and then other devotees are invited to accompany, then you can see at your leisure. At present, we're going to, in the future, we want to have loudspeakers inside all the exhibits, little headphones or speakers which will speak the message of each exhibit. At the present time, the matter which will be broadcast is there in written form in front, in English. In the future, it will be in English, Bengali, and in Hindi for our multilingual audience. In the future, we may also have international languages as well for our foreign guests.